Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David, Jay, and Vicki will visit with Mr. Philip Osborne, store manager for Nutrien Ag Solutions in Clay, Kentucky. This week, we will discuss the input situation for 2023. And as always, we will wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
How's everybody today?
Pretty good. A little bit sleep deprived from checking heifers, but other than that, everything's going pretty good.
It is that time of the year. We're recording this in January, fairly early in January. So that's what a lot of our beef producers are doing right now. Yeah. If they've got heifers, they want to get those calved out and
Before the cow starts.
Yeah.
So we're all due the 19th of this month, and I've already had two, so we're well on our way to rolling through that. But
and everything goes exactly like you plan for it to in your head during this time too, doesn't it?
So far, so good. I'm not gonna I'd knock on the table, but it'll make a lot of noise. But so far, so good. Calving out five is a whole lot better than calving 20, which I did last year.
So. Well, that's what I was going to ask. How many heifers you have this year?
Yeah, we just got five this year, but we had 20 last year, and that was fast and in a hurry. Things happen quick, especially when you AI. We did all our AI work. So
you had a fairly narrow window anyway that you were working
for. Yeah, they came pretty fast, which that's why I like them. I don't like it to be drug out, but work good. So getting up at 4 o'clock, I don't have to get up for a week or two at 4 o'clock.
You don't get up at 4 every day?
Well, I kind of do, but I did fall back asleep this morning. Jay texted me about 5 this morning, and I fell back asleep after I came back home from checking, and I laid on the couch and just happened to fall asleep and didn't text him back till about 6. So
there's a few ag agents out there, Philip, that I can count on to be up that early in the morning if I need to bounce an idea off something off somebody or something. David's one of those that I can usually count on. So I actually knew you was working with your heifers, so when you didn't respond, I didn't think nothing about it this morning. So, Vicki, how's everything in Webster County?
Well, I guess it's going pretty good. We did have a little accident in our county last night, so a little somber this morning in Webster County. But with that being said, it's a good time to remember that we always need to think about safety when we're doing anything. So just always keep that in mind. So
we talk all the time about how when we do these shows, we think of the ideas for another show or the next show. We talked for a while about doing one just on safety, something safety related. And anytime you have an accidental death in a county, that brings that back to the forefront. So we need to put our heads together collectively and get that done here one of these days.
I agree.
So.
Yep, I agree.
We have a guest with us today, Mr. Philip Osborne. Philip, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning. Appreciate you making the trip down to where we're meeting at.
So. Right. Glad to be here.
It's going to be a good time. We appreciate you coming in and all the things we're going to talk about. But first, won't you just talk a little bit, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you come to this position and a little bit about your background.
All right. So, I'm born and raised on a small family farm. Senior year in high school, as a lot of people do, you have a co-op situation where you can get out and work on the farm. So I reached out and started working for a neighboring farm, a little larger in capacity and, more room to learn and different technologies and stuff. Worked there probably, 7-8 years, I guess. Got married. Wife was an RN, and so she was making the money and having the insurance, and I was living a dream driving new tractors and combines and trucks and just having a big time. And then tragic struck. She passed away suddenly, and I was left with a 3-year-old and no insurance and no career per se. Got a phone call from Crop Production shortly after, and they wanted to know if I would join them. So, vacation, insurance, set time to be there and leave for the most part. Season oriented, it's different, but anyway. But I had some kind of a stability for my son, and so we started there. Started out as an applicator, and then just continually kept climbing until now I'm the facility manager. Have been 6 years now, I guess, something like it.
Okay. And the experiences that you've had, just coming up that way when you start off as an applicator and having to to figure out things on your own, how to fix things. When something goes wrong, you got to fix it if you're in the middle of the field. And that experience has, I know, has made you a great manager, because you're being able to look through a different lens. And some folks have. I know I worked in the ag retail business, but I've never run a yeah. spray equipment, or I've never spread fertilizer, and so I can't see it through the same lens that you do.
And that's true. I mean, yeah, I would have liked to have had a college education. I didn't. But now, you know, I've taught, I guess there's three college classes and a high school class in ag technology and mm-hmm. Soil sampling and different things. The professors mm-hmm. or teachers have called and wanted me to do a couple classes with their students. And the professors, as well as the students, learned, or I feel like they did, they said they did, a lot of different things that you don't get taught yeah. in the classroom. And yes, that's true, Vicki. You know, when you know you're out there by yourself in a sprayer, it breaks down, you know you've got a time to get this applied and to get on with your day.
Yep.
Do you sit and wait for a phone call, or then it was a radio message to the farm manager to call somebody in service? Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be there sometime the next day or two. You know, mm-hmm. you can't do that, so yep. you got to improvise and try to figure it out yourself. And then yep. when the mechanic did show up, when I had to have him, I was there on his hip. He might have wished I wasn't, but, yeah. you know, I tried to learn everything he was doing, so troubleshoot it going forward. Mm-hmm. As a manager today, that's helped a lot, because, you know, they can call me, you know, this younger generation, as I like to call them, aren't quite as, I don't know what the proper word would be, but they're not as.
Common sense.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of common sense, but they're not as.
Well-versed.
Well-versed in.
Yep, absolutely.
You know. Maybe being a MacGyver as such, you know, trying yep. to figure out a way to patch it to get it to go on through the day
yep.
and then fix it correctly later.
Yep.
You know, technology, they're pretty good on most of it, but still, you know, all of my machines now, they've got a tracker on them. I know where they are. I can log into every monitor from the store. Mm-hmm. You know, if they have a problem, they just call and we log into it and yep. walk them through it and try to teach them while we're doing it and fix it. And a lot of the stuff we don't have to go out there anymore yep. that we used to have.
Yeah.
We were talking before we started recording about all the technology changes that we've seen through the years, and that ability right there is one of them. And as a manager, I'm sure that helps you a lot,
huge.
Just being able to track that equipment.
Yeah, and you know, when, you know, say Farmer Joe down the road calls, hey, you're supposed to be here spreading fertilizer. You said you'd be here in an hour. You're not here. You know, what's going on? Instead of, well, put him on hold and call the operator, or hang up, call the operator. He's got a bad cell service. You can't find him, whatever. I can log in and see in real time where he is in the field, what side he started on, where he's going to, and get an idea of what he likes. And mm-hmm. my tender trucks are tracked. If they get lost, they call me, and I can yep. see where they are. Okay, you need to go back about 100 yards and turn in, you know. And yep. it streamlined things tremendously from what it was 20 years ago.
You know, I've said several times on this show before, but one of the biggest changes that I've seen on the farm as far as a farmer's ability goes is their speed at which they can turn things around.
Oh, yeah.
And technology adds to that. I'm sure that's the same thing on the retail side of things.
It is. I mean, you know, the more technology, if you use it correctly, you know, I have reps and different ones come in, and even farmers themselves, they'll come in, and I'll have a TV screen on the wall with the, you know, it's mirroring my computer, but I've got it pulled up with all the equipment on it, watching them. So, oh, you're just sitting here watching them, make sure they don't stop at the convenience store or whatever. So, no, that's not what that is. You know, you could do that, but then you're going to lose the respect of your applicators. So you got to respect them. I mean, they need yeah. breaks too, and that's not what I'm yeah. doing. I just want to make sure something's not wrong.
Right.
For instance, several years ago, a little town called Tulu, and if you've never been there, you're not going to accidentally get there. Okay. So you go to the river and you turn left and you go forever, and then, hey, wait, what's this? It's a three-way stop with a sign that says Tulu, but yeah. there's zero cell phone service in Tulu. And we had an applicator down there, and he was in like a 160-acre bottom right along the riverbank, but the river had gotten up in the spring and went back out, and it left a void. And when he hit it, it just fell in, mm-hmm. and he was stuck. Tried and tried to call, couldn't get anybody. And I had it pulled up on the screen and was watching. I seen it shortly after he stopped, but I didn't think anything about it. And 30 minutes goes by, and I just happened to glance up. I said, wait a minute. I said, is that still refreshed? And I refreshed it, and he didn't move. I said, he's got a problem. Yeah. And there's no way you mean. I said, he's not moving, and something's not right. And so we got a hold of the farmer, and he took off down there, and he met him. He had already walked 2.5 miles out trying to find somebody to help him, but got him pulled out. But, you know, such as that, I mean, he could have sat there all day, and you'd have never known it.
Yeah. Aside from the efficiencies of the business need, it's a safety concern as well to be able to use that.
That's correct.
Well, it makes you that much more efficient. And, I mean, when you're trying to get anything done, just like farmers, folks in ag retail are trying to be as efficient as possible. And, you know, it helps because I've been on the phone with somebody that wants to know where the truck is and why you're not on my field spreading fertilizer, spraying my field. You know, I've been on the phone with folks like that. And when you don't have a something instantly that you can pull up and say, they're usually not very happy about it.
Exactly.
And so I'm sure that really helps from a communication standpoint with your producers and customers. That's really got to help a lot.
It does. And then, you know, the next step with that, not only is it tracking them, anytime they turn the spray switch on or the spreader switch on, it's mapping where they are. Mm-hmm. It's telling exactly what that machine is putting out, and it comes back in and it's stored.
Yep.
And you can come in 5 years down the road. I've got it back to 2012. 2012. You can come in and I can pull up your farm and tell you what we've done every year for the last 10 years.
And that's such valuable information right there, too. I mean, just kind of going back and seeing what you've done, and especially if there's some kind of a failure, something didn't control like you thought it would or they thought it would, and seeing it, because it might have not been you at all, or it might not have been just being able to have that information right there to look at and
make decisions on. Yeah, from a fertility standpoint, that's got to be, you know, valuable information for folks if they'll just use it. You know, that and along with yield maps, and you can overlay yield maps with some of those things, and that's got to be just, you know, extremely valuable.
It is, and something that 90% of the farmers will overlook is the lime application. Mm-hmm. They cannot remember when they limed it last.
Yeah. Yep.
And what they put or where they put it. So, I mean, you know, it's just an endless supply of data, you know, going to spray records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got your records there. It tells you what chemical you used, when you used it. It's time-stamped, dated. I mean, there's no discrepancy on it.
Yeah. And, you know, that helps you when you run your yield maps and different things, if you were doing some side-by-side comparisons of some different – because – look, there are a plethora of additives that you can put into, you know, spray tanks for different reasons. And everybody's got their reason on why you need to do this, that, or the other. And you know, if you're doing some side-by-side stuff, that's great information that you can use to see if it actually did anything or not.
Right. And, you know, for instance, going along with that statement, there's a lot of fertilizer additives as well as chemical additives, but on the fertility side, in 2012, we rented 2 tractor and drills and was drilling wheat, custom drilling wheat in the fall, because 2012 was a disaster and it was a big wheat year.
Yep.
And so we rented these drills and we're drilling wheat. They're on 30-foot, you know, they were 30-foot grain drills. My spreader truck was spreading on 90-foot centers, and the combine that they were going to harvest the wheat with was on 30-foot head, so I got an idea that I wanted to try some of these things just to see what did and didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go into the field, and we did what I like to call a true side-by-side. We didn't do this quarter of the field this way and this quarter over here the other. It was every other pass was opposite. So you had 3 passes with the drill, 1 pass with the truck, 3 with the combine.
Yep.
And we took it all the way through, and then we could dial in and see what truly did or did not work on the farm. I mean, you can take a test plots are great. I mean, we got to have them. But when you're taking a 400-foot strip versus a 50-acre field, it's a big difference.
Yep, absolutely.
Sure is. Yep. That is.
Paul Harvey used to say the rest of the story.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, and before we leave that subject, as far as your experience and how you got to where you are, he talked about teaching classes, you know, at the universities or the community colleges here and at the school. But he did leave out that he's also taught some classes at the extension office, too. So yeah. Philip and I go back several years, and he and I both were in the retail business, mm-hmm. and but he's helped me out a lot. He's been always been a supporter of extension as a whole. He worked with George Kelly a lot over mm-hmm. in your county, Jay, in Hopkins County. He worked with him on some trials and different things, and he's always helped me when I've reached out to him, and he's helped me a lot with pesticide trainings because Philip, like I said, your knowledge in that it, particularly in that area is. You know, that's just a benefit to us in this county and those others that you serve, your customers, because I know customers a lot of times call you about things that's not related to anything you sold them.
Right.
Because of the experience that you have. And then Philip's just the kind of operator or the manager that he's going to do whatever he can to help. So,
yeah. And it don't have to be customers of mine. I mean, I help other,
sure.
you know, anybody that calls in need, other farm centers, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. I mean, I had one last night calling. He was having trouble with getting parts and what they were telling him. I said, that's not quite right, but, you know,
yeah.
and told
yeah.
him how to fix it. But, you know, there's it's just an endless, you know, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but, you know, that stuff I've learned coming up the way I did that you can't learn sitting behind a yep. desk in school. You yep. know, it just, they can't teach you all that.
It's real-world knowledge.
Yeah.
It's real-world knowledge.
Well, really it comes from experience, and yep. there nothing beats experience.
Exactly.
They what is the old saying is, experience is that thing you get right after you needed it.
<That's>
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And then what you do with that,
yep.
you know.
Retaining it.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Don't make that mistake again.
Yep.
You talked about the equipment having the trackers on them and helping them get to where they are, you know, that's got to save you some time.
Yeah, I mean.
If you've never been in the ag retail business, standing at a counter in the spring when you've got a list, you know, a long list of people to get to spray or spread fertilizer or whatever the case may be, and you're trying to get a spreader truck driver to a field and make sure he's in the right field.
Mm-hmm.
And back 20 years ago, like you mentioned, there wasn't these cell phones and yeah. that we could do. And I mean, that was, you know, it was a trick sometime. And it also took another person to take them to the field.
Yep.
And so by that new technology, you can do that without pulling somebody else off of another job or you yourself having to go out there to show them where the field is.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, the applicators don't stay forever. I mean, you know, we've got a good group that stayed, you know, mm-hmm. a good time, but you're constantly getting a new person in there. Yeah. So, you know, we have a mapping program. I've got every farmer, every field farm, everything is mapped and numbered. If I'm on the phone or tied up or whatever, you know, a customer calls the office, they can tell the secretary or whoever answers, go to the home place, spray field 5, and hang mm-hmm. up the phone. That's all you need. It's not go to this where the oak tree yep. was a few years ago. We mm-hmm. had to cut it down, but
yeah,
turn
there,
there
and turn go, by the
yeah,
oak tree.
You yeah. know, and go down past the sweet corn patch. I mean, those things, you know, it just, I'm going to tell my age here in a minute, but I mean, those things were real back in the day.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Even as agents, that's the same directions we used to get to go
yes.
look at a problem on a farm.
Right.
Yeah. I used to, the best one that I ever had is I had to go look at a field somewhere and I'd never been there. And the directions was, they's giving me the roads, of course, but then they said, you know, to go where the lime pile is.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove that whole road. Never once did I see a lime pile. And I come back through looking again. And I, you know, you hate to make that call and say, I can't find the field. You know, you'll try to find that field on your own before you make that call. Well, finally, I had to call and I said, I've driven this road twice now and I have not found the lime pile. And he said, oh, no, there's not lime there now. But when we dump lime, that's where the lime pile is. So, you know, takes those situations out a little bit.
Yep. I've had a lot of those. A lot of those. And, you know, and back when we first got cell phones, well, it was before cell phones, we had a radio and a spray coop. I was running a spray coop, and, of course, I broke down, as happens a lot in a spray coop. But then, you know, the manager was calling me and said, well, how much longer are you going to be? You know, well, I don't know. But, you know, that was something they needed to know. But they had never ran a spray coop. They never run a spreader truck and didn't have any idea the length of time that it takes to fill up and to, you know, drive back and forth and all that kind of stuff. So it's cell phones are great, but that deal sounds like it's a lot better. And, you know, you're not worrying your operator about where are you and, you know, how much longer are you going to be in before you're in here, you know.
Well, and they like it because it's easier to get to where they're going.
Right, right, yeah, absolutely.
Mean, you know, I print off a map, mm-hmm. mark the fields or whatever. They look at it, say, oh, yeah, I know where that is. And even, you know, I alluded or mentioned a while ago, new applicators coming on board from time to time or truck drivers every year. It's simple. I mean, you can give it to them in 2 minutes. They know exactly where they're going. I mean, it's almost as good as sending a pin to their phone on the younger generation and getting them there. I mean, they go right to it. But yeah, it's helped tremendously.
Those pins are handy too.
Yeah.
I had to adapt to that pretty much just because of a lot of the people I work with, not these two, but some of the others.
Yeah. I still struggle with dropping a pin.
I am much better at reading them and getting them than I am dropping them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Philip, I know that, you know, being in the ag retail business, I know you've got a lot of knowledge about maybe where some of our input prices and maybe even some of our input supplies and all of those things. Just kind of give us your, you know, overall take on what inputs are going to be this time and how that's going to kind of play out this spring.
Well, I mean, there's good news and bad news, I guess, in all aspects of it. We'll start off with dry fertilizer. Supply seems to be a lot more available than what it was last year. There was a lot of uncertainties last year. Price is tremendously better this year than it was last.
Yep.
So, I mean, your inputs as far as fertility is coming down. The nitrogen market, you can throw a dart. I mean, that's some of a gun.
I
can't guess that one. I've been pushing numbers for the last month and a half, 2 months now, and every time I think I've got it figured out, I get an email. Okay, it's just changed. Something's, you know, luckily it's still coming down and not going up, but it's not making sense historically. I mean, I just can't – I don't know what's going on. P&K, they came down quite a bit late fall, November, December. They're kind of hanging out, laying flat right now. Seed prices obviously have went up, you know, which seed tends to follow a year behind the grain market, which makes sense because these guys growing seed beans or raising corn, they've got to sell it on the market. So if the market goes up, they're going to go up. So, and you know, we're already forecasting. I've got a meeting in Nashville at the end of the month to order 24 seed.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, we're already that advanced, but you have to with the scheme of things and the amount of acreage that's being planted, you have to stay ahead of the game. So, you know, now I've got to figure out, well, what's Jay going to plant next year? You know, what variety's going to do good? I mean, it's a crapshoot, but I mean, you got to get something in play to go with, and you got to trust your suppliers and, you know, the doctors and that are breeding these beans and corn to trust their knowledge that they've tried them in different places. And, you know, you gotta take their knowledge as well as on farm. Now, just because we forecast them in 24 doesn't mean they're going to make it, but we have to have a forecast. Chemicals, they're up as much as fertilizer's off, I guess, this year. They're the big deal. Some of them have come down. Glyphosates are down, but the others went back up. You know, glyphosate last year was astronomical.
Well, you know, as far as last year goes, it looks like in the short run, the immediate future, some of these prices are down as far as our fertilizers goes. You say other inputs might be up, chemicals. we went into last year with really a blind eye to what things were going to be like. We knew prices were high, but availability was the big, big question. At the end of the year, after you went through it, were things quite as bad as you were expected as far as availability of certain things?
They weren't 100% as bad. They were worse than I really thought they would be. Not as bad as what was forecasted, but I couldn't. You know, when you've been in the business this long and it's always there, you pick up the phone, you get a tank of glyphosate or you get, you know, an atrazine product or whatever, and them to tell you, hey, you're going to run out. That was hard for me to believe. We never ran out, but there was a time or two I thought, well, here we go, you know.
Right.
I got to make that phone call. Well, I'm sorry, I can't deliver. We're going to have to back up and regroup. But yeah, it always came through. But, yeah, it was scary. The fertilizer market this fall really got concerning because of the Mississippi River going dry or running low. They cut the barge traffic down tremendously. That put a hurt, and you know, logistics is huge. You know, when all those cargo ships and stuff are stuck overseas, you got the war in Ukraine and Russia. A lot of urea come out of there. You know, it just goes on and on of stuff that's not historically your supply and demand issues. Now we've got another issue in there.
Wasn't a factor, but it is now.
I was going to ask you that next. You know, last year, there were so many different external factors that seemed like it was affecting all that market. You know, you go back to the Olympics and things not being available out of China for a little while. We talk about, of course, the situation in Ukraine. The same thing held true with the grain market.
Yeah.
It was more than just the traditional supply and demand and the seasonal time of the year that were driving that market, seems like. So if nothing else, this should add some stability going forward as we start to move some of those external factors.
I think so, yes. And like I said, the supplies are starting to come in. I mean, they're on a timely base. I've not seen anything that's really held up that would raise a concern or throw a flag at me. I think we're a lot better shape than we were last year. Overall inputs, you're probably going to be a little cheaper, but not significantly because of the two increases, but there was one dramatic decrease. So it's going to balance somewhere in the middle, but it will be, I feel like it's going to be a lot better than last year was.
We've got an idea there as far as prices goes. Availability, do you think that'll be a little more stable as well?
On certain products, yes. Now, there's still some that are tight supply, some chemicals especially, but overall I think the supply will be there. May not be there exactly when you want it, but it'll be there.
Philip, talk a little bit about, you know, and I know we kind of did a little bit of this last year, but talk a little bit about how important it is to, you know, when you're talking about chemicals, to have that plan A of what you're wanting to use, and then you may need to have a backup plan because that may not come true.
Or two backup plans.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, you know, without throwing darts or bashing any particular company, two that come to mind, you got Enlist, you have Xtend. Two total different platforms of chemistry. So not only does your plan need to include starting off with the seed, because you got to have the right seed to use whatever chemistry you're using.
Right.
If you're using Enlist and an Xtend Flex bean, the common denominator would be a Liberty or a, you know, that type of chemistry. But something that a lot of people tend to overlook is your neighbor. What is your neighbor doing?
Yep.
You know, you can plant an Xtend bean or an Enlist bean, and you think everything's fine, and then when we pull up to spray it, there's a guy sitting the back of 10 feet from you.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's a real issue.
Yeah.
And you know, just because you have your plan set, you need to visit with your neighbor. I mean, we've got to start getting along with our neighbors and saying, okay, what are you going to do? And then when are you going to plant this? Or it could be a watermelon plant, vineyard. You know, all those things play in this. You know, a lot of people like to pick on the Xtend label or the Enlist label. But, you know, as an applicator looking back, it blows my mind how myself used to go out there and spray and not take into some of the considerations that's on that label.
Yeah.
You know, if we used that label, if we took that one as a template and put it on all of the other chemicals, we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of applications done that really shouldn't be done. And not only with Xtendard and List, I mean, it goes back to anything. 2,4-D, atrazines. I mean, there's times we've been out there applying that the weather, you know, inversions, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, you never heard of inversion until a few years ago.
Right.
When I worked here in Christian County, we had a grain meeting one year and had a visiting specialist from another state, and he made that comment that 2,4-D by far was the least expensive and the best chemical you could use in the spring with, you know, along with your corn burned down. And I thought, unless you're in Christian County, we had, you know, when I was here, and I think it's only gone up now, but over 2,000 acres of commercial vegetables spread out all over the south end of the county.
Right.
And that was an issue for strawberries and tomatoes in greenhouses and high tunnels. And
it don't have to be commercial. I mean, myself, you know, people laugh at me. I've had farmers come over. I've got a fairly large garden every year, and they come over and say, what are you doing out here? You know, it's your day off. You're working in the darn garden. Well, I get it passes my time, and it gives me time to think and, you know what's going on around me. But it's just a peace of mind to me. I mean, I love it. And, you know,
I had to talk to him last year. I called him and said, hey, I'm in Clay. I need to talk to you about something year-round. He said, yeah, I'll just come up here. I'm at my garden. And that's where I pulled up, and I think he was it okra, I think?
Yeah, he was cutting okra.
Yeah, he was cutting okra. And, but I had a pesticide training last night, ironically, ahead of this meeting or this podcast. But one of the things that I told him last night, and I try to do that at every one of the pesticide trainings, is, you know, be aware of your surroundings. Talk to your neighbors. Just know what's around you, because, number one, there's a lot more beekeepers in the area than we ever used to have.
Yep.
There's a lot of high tunnels, a lot of greenhouses, you know, more high tunnels than greenhouses, but there's a lot more of that. And and what I had mentioned to him, I said, if you are calling your commercial applicator and wanting your field sprayed, I said, I can promise you there's 25 other people that's also calling. Or more.
Yeah.
And I said, so just take the time to remind them to say, hey, make sure that they know that, you know, these folks has put a greenhouse up.
Yeah. Are there some bees?
Are there some bees around there? Because they're not going to know. And those commercial applicators, I mean, they've got a lot of pressure. They've got a lot of places to be. And it's and so it falls on the producer to let them know what's around them, you know. And on the beekeeper side is just give that guy a call, say, hey, look, I'm just letting you know, I've called, this field's going to be sprayed in a couple of days. And then they can do what they need to do. But you hit on it there, just, you know, paying attention to what's around you.
You know, just like last Saturday, my grandson playing ABA basketball, so he called with me go watch him play ball. So I go sitting in the gym, and a farmer comes in that's not my customer. He comes in, he sits down beside me. We get talking. He said, I just want to let you know I'm going with a certain type chemistry this year. He said, what are you hearing around the area? I said, well, everybody's the same this year so far. You know, we named a few off, it's off. He said, well, this one over here has told me they're going to do this. So, I mean, even when you're not in your retail store, you're not in your farm gate, you know, community, when you're out in social events, you know, have the conversation.
That's right.
You know, it don't have to get heated. Just what are you going to do? Where is it going to be?
Right.
So we can plan ahead.
I've known a lot of producers, like with soybeans, for instance, that would go with a particular chemistry, whether they were planning on using that chemistry themselves or not, because of what their neighbors were doing.
That's right.
Just for a protection standpoint.
And I do see more farmers doing that. I've heard a lot more farmers talking in the last couple of years, particularly.
Well, I think with the dicamba damage that we, like in McLean County 2 years ago, we had a tremendous amount of reported dicamba damage. But I think, you know, when you talk with producers about, well, have you talked with your neighbor and have you, you know, and whether they're going to report it to the state and that type of thing, and they said, well, I really hadn't talked to them. And so I think that, you know, that to me just showed how important it was to be able to go and have that conversation right. with your neighbor and see if you could work that out before the state got involved. Not that a lot of stuff happened when they did get involved, but, you know, we'd rather, you know, be able to keep those type of chemicals to be have those in our tool bag to use.
That's right.
Instead of having a lot of complaints about them and get it taken away from us.
And now's the time to be having those conversations.
I think farmers, but for the most part, are cognizant of that. Whether they're communicating it with their neighbor or not may be something different. But I never will forget working with a producer in Christian County that I had worked with a lot through the years, and he stopped by the office one day and he said, you know, I've got a neighbor here near one of my fields. He said, you might ought to keep your ear open and listen, he said, because I've probably dinged him pretty good. And sure enough, before it was all said and done, I got a call from the guy, and he had dinged him pretty good. It was 2,4-D in the springtime. But he was cognizant of that. He knew from the wind direction. He actually had stopped a sprayer. His guy was out applicating. He was looking at the wind and the wind direction. He called him and said, shut it down. But he'd shut it down a little bit late. Could have been a lot worse, but he was cognizant of that. And David, to speak to what you just said, once he knew there was a problem, the two producers got together and worked it out. It never had to involve anybody else.
And that's the best way to handle something.
By far the best way to handle
it. And most of the time you can, because the producer or the one that's, you know, been dinged, neither one of them want it.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to be cordial to each other and get along. Yeah. You know, you could actually, you know, last year and every year since that iCanvas and Enlist come on board, we've sprayed less and less every year of those products because you can actually get by without it. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to go back to the old way of thinking. You know, we've had too many casual or comfortable years from 97, I believe, 98, when Roundup Ready came up.
That's what I was supposed to say. Roundup kind of spoiled everything.
That's exactly what I was waiting to say.
Roundup just really, it's great. We've made it a lot of years with it. But, you know, the hindsight's 2020. If we knew then what we know now, there would have been some residuals out there with that Roundup, and we may not be where we're sitting today.
Yep.
That's right.
I agree with that.
You know, and, you know, if you've got places that, you know, tobacco, a vineyard, a garden, whether it's a commercial garden or somebody's grandmother or granddad's garden that they, you know, enjoy to put up their own product, you can go in there and put residuals down and layer different residuals. You won't have an issue.
Yeah.
But once he comes up, you got a problem.
Yep.
So, I mean, you've got to, going back to the planning, you've got to plan ahead in those areas where you know there's a problem or a potential neighbor that could be a problem. Let's deal with it before instead of after and avoid that conversation completely.
Yeah, the days of us just going and working ground and planting and harvesting, and those days are over.
They're over.
And have been for quite some time. But, I mean, we really need to sit down, and this is the perfect time to do it.
That's right. Or
even before now, is to sit down and make those plans and talk about the kind of chemicals you're going to use, what kind of seeds you're going to use, and all of those things, just to get ahead of the game and kind of have, you know, even if it's just a backup plan to you know, if this happens, we're going to have to do this. You know, or if that happens, we got to do this.
Right.
You know, those kind of things.
And making notes, too, while you're doing that about, like, where you know that every year there's going to be a garden right here. Every year, this is where their garden spot is. This is where it's going to be. So we know that. So we got to make our plan around that garden. And you kind of alluded to that, Philip, is that it doesn't have to be a commercial vegetable field.
No.
I mean, because that garden, I know that my grandmother, for instance, and she's not able to have a garden now. She's going on 97. But up until, I mean, she had a garden up until she could not. And that garden was important to her. She worked in that garden. She put up green beans and tomato juice.
She enjoyed it.
And that is just as important to her as
the 500
acres next to it.
That's right.
It really is. And And I think, you know, if our producers and our operators can let the operators know, hey, on this field, there's a garden here we need to look out for. Or over here, there's beekeepers. Or over here, there's going to be tobacco. You know, he's going to raise tobacco over here. And just let Philip know, and so that he can, or your managers know that that information, and then a lot of problems can be averted that way.
And you know, it don't have to be the commercial garden. It don't have to be a big garden that your grandmother has. It could be two or three tomato slips sitting, and landowners or homeowners, I guess I should say, that adjoin a larger commercial field. Every time we'll plant them 6 inches from that row.
They do.
They want the fertilizer that's going to fly over. Yep. They don't complain about that, but by dogs, you better not spray it. Yeah. You know?
And so, it doesn't matter if it's 500 tomato plants or two tomato plants.
You're exactly right.
They can raise some cane.
But there's ways of avoiding that.
Right.
You know where these guys are. You know who they are.
Yep.
Stop and talk to them. You know, when you're coming around the field and you see it, stop. Hey, you know, do you have a bucket or a sheet or something just throw over it? I don't want to kill them, but, I
got to spray.
I got to spray this, you know. And, just have a conversation with them.
Communication.
Let them watch you drop the boom down low, go real slow by it, get away from it, show them that you care. Then if there is a problem, it's not near as bad as – you turn your back and run.
You know, earlier I was talking about specifically with the commercial vegetable operations, and one of the key points there is both sides of that fence were farmers.
That's right.
And they should be able to communicate together. The other side about commercial operation with vegetables is they start so much earlier in the year.
And
you're not, if you're in that spray coop or that sprayer, you're not in that mindset yet of I could be damaging something. Everything around you brown, you're just not thinking about that. So that's really the only key point I was making about the commercial side of that. But that being said, we talk about a lot of different things. We always like to, towards the end of our show, have a timely tip. And we want to switch gears just a little bit as far as our timely tip goes from the rest of our discussion and talk about now being the time to get in the shop and see to some of those equipment needs. If you know you have repairs that need to be made since last year, I would go ahead and start thinking about making those a lot earlier than I normally would just because of the supply chain issue that we faced and not knowing what the availability of parts might be. So
that is very true. I've run into it time and time again. Something as simple as a greaser to go to put in a pin, they're not there, some of them. You go to get a fan belt, for instance, on one. That's an odd fan belt. We don't have it. You're kidding. I mean, I've got it for years.
Why do they make everything odd?
Exactly.
Everything I need is odd.
Everything's odd. But it's just like, if you go to the Walmart or the dollar store or whatever shopping center, some of your basic needs aren't always there. It's the same way with parts and stuff working in shops. So I would urge anybody, you need to start your preventive maintenance early. If you know there's something that, you put this planter up last year and it's got a bearing out or it needs a cylinder rebuilt, you better start ordering those parts now because they may not be there on the shelf.
Well, and even those things that you know about, when we get into jobs, we're going to find things that we weren't aware of.
Exactly.
Or we're going to want to replace or repair something while we've got it apart, and being able to make sure you can source those parts is a big, big thing. Time was in this part of the state, we had producers who used to come home from the National Farm Machinery Show, and that's when they wanted to get in the shop, get busy, and get everything rolling, But time is now that we just have to start that a lot earlier than normal.
Yeah,
that's right.
Especially with the supply chain issues. You just don't know if you'll be able to get the parts or not.
How long it's going to take to get them to you. Even if you can get them, used to. Even Amazon, everybody was Amazon Prime. You get it in 2 days. Well, you don't get Amazon Prime in 2 days. And just use that as an example. It just takes longer to get to you, even if they have the part.
Right.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I just, and now is a good time when we can't get outside and do a lot. Now is a good time to get in the shop and do some of those things. And because stuff sneaks up on you. I always try to get in the shop and do some things before hay season starts. Well, inevitably, it's right? I mean, I need to be cutting hay, and I'm in there working on something. yeah, you know, encourage folks to really get out there and do that because, you know, it's time for it to happen for sure.
So anybody else have anything they want to add to that?
We're good.
That sounds good. Well, Philip, we appreciate you being here with us. We want to thank Philip and thank our hosts for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.